So this audio fragment will be about one specific gesture, which is indexing, taking the very concrete gesture of indexing as a starting point, but more from this observing the activity of indexing, which is of course at stake in language. Language does index. And I would consider this activity in relationship with another one, which I would call embodying. And I would try to observe the possible combination or coexistence of those two activities. So we have this famous sentence that says, when the wise man point towards the moon, the fool looks at the finger. Well, we Westerners, we are used to go to Eastern to look for alternative for our usual way of creating binary relationships. But in that case, this old Eastern sentence creates such a binary relationship between the fool and the wise. Of course, each one is the fool of the other one. One considers only the indexing activity, and one is interested in the embodying aspect. And, well, I'm looking to be two fools at the same time by looking both at the moon and at the finger, and how one influences the other, how the gesture of indexing work with hosting also what it points at, how it is being affected bodily, affected possibly emotionally, affected by what it points at. I brought together two paintings of Caravaggio that you could see on this page, and we'll examine them a bit. So if you want to take this box with the audio fragment, you click on the title Eventfulness and you drag it on the left until you find the pictures. So one picture is called The Incredulity of Saint Thomas, and the other one is called The Beheading of Saint John the Baptist. So both are from Caravaggio, both are from the scenes from the Bible. As you see, both are organized around this gesture of indexing. Both cases, an index pointing towards. But of course, they offer many contrasts, one with another. Let's see first the beheading. And well, we really see the indexing gesture working as language does, as a language usually indexes. So there is this guy pointing from a distance, and it doesn't do much, but out of this very gesture, a murder will occur. The head of a man would be put on a plate. On top of this, by doing so, the head will become also a sign, will become a language, as the point is to not only to kill Saint John the Baptist, but to signify that he is killed, and to signify the power of one who commands his murder. So in that case, the head being severed from the body is becoming a sign, the sign at once of Saint John the Baptist, that is somehow summarized in that head separated from the rest of St. John, and it becomes also the sign not only of that individual, but of course the sign of his death. So it's like by the apparition of that sign, the indexing sign, the index pointing towards, that signify a direction, but also a whole set of actions that would bring the head on the plate. So we have that sign of the indexing that create another sign, the head of St. John the Baptist, signifying St. John the Baptist and signifying his death. The apparition of a sign creates other signs, and there are, it's like signs works by proliferation. And so, of course, what it's interesting also in that picture, it's also like separation, the distance, the gaps. Language texture is made of discrete elements that could be combined in many ways together. The fact that they are distinct, that there are gaps between those elements, for instance, letters, for instance, phonemes and words, and all the texture of language is organized by holes, gaps that maintain distinction and call for articulation. Separation is somehow at the core of language, how it is being built, how it is made, but it also at the core of its power. And it's what shows this picture. You see the distance between the finger and the plate, between the finger and the head. That's the texture of this sign. It operates from a distance. But also, his power, the power of this sign, is to separate. In that case, the head of St. John will be severed from the body. And by this separation, the head is not only a head anymore, it's a sign, as I said earlier. So it's how it works, how indexing works in language. If you've listened to the other audio fragment about waves, I mean entitled Waves Crashing, it echoes this idea of language made of drops coming from waves of movement crashing against a gesture as an event. And the other picture of Caravaggio offers us an example where the indexing is linked to flow, to waves, if you want, to stream of flow, as when we see this finger of St. Thomas entering the body of Jesus, cannot help but imagining his contact with the pulse of blood inside. So in that case, is that is as if the indexing is not prolonged towards language, but somehow the indexing makes a loop and come back to the flow it would come from, if you accept this metaphor of the wave crashing against rocks, producing drops as elements of language. So in that case, this gesture of indexing, this gesture which is the event against which the waves crashes, rather than being interested in the outcomes, in the drops, it's interested in the wave crashing, in the wave like opening itself against the rock. Like we see here, the body of Jesus being opened, being wounded, and the finger of St. Thomas entering into that effect of the gesture into the movement. So in that case, the gesture doesn't prolong itself in the power of separation of language, but rather is taken as an opportunity to dive into the flow, to be in contact with it. So it's no more about distance, it's about contact. And it's why it's a useful image to consider embodying. In that case, Saint Thomas, by looking at Jesus, he could recognize him. But as the title say, it's a situation of incredulity. He's not satisfied with the visual sign of Jesus' face. So it's in contrast with the situation with the beheading of Saint John the Baptist. The face is declared to be the sign of the individual. In that case, Saint Thomas sees Jesus, he knows him, he could recognize him, but he's not satisfied with that. Not satisfied with seeing the face, he wouldn't even be satisfied with touching the face. He has to touch what he can't see. He has to touch the inside of this man, of this body, of this person, Jesus. He has to go inside to touch something he never touched, of course. He has to touch something he also never saw and that he will not see. So he puts the vision aside, vision that as the gesture of indexing does and as the language does, operates from a distance, and he comes back to touch, which operates by contact, direct contact, by contiguity. And so, yeah, he goes there, and once again, the title reminds us that it's about incredulity, so it's another contrast with the other picture where the gesture of indexing is a gesture of power, of assertivity, of authority. Here, it's a gesture full of doubts, and we see that St. Thomas seems to need help. There is this grip of Jesus that brings the finger inside. The gesture of Thomas himself is, we imagine him a bit like, yeah, doubtful, not really sure of what he's doing and if he can go there, but he's going inside step by step. So my interest would be to bring those two things together, those two activities, and to consider them together. At once the gesture of indexing that erupts as an event and creates the possibility of language and does indeed focus into this operation of separating, of pointing something which is at a distance. So that would be the finger that points at the drops of the waves crashing. And then I'm interested that in the same time we would consider this indexing that loop itself, and rather than being focused on the drops, turns back to the waves that are opening themselves, that are wounded by their crash against the rock, and that want to go inside that flow, to touch it. This event of the gesture is then an opportunity to go touch what you never saw and what you never touched before inside the movement, which has the potential of becoming language.